And I present to you Brother Joe Gilmore from San Jose, California.
Tonight we come to a great subject. What we should know about the judgment of God. The Bible has a lot to say on this subject. And I would like to start with this thought. There are a lot of things that I'd like to know about the judgment that I do not know. Yet in the afterwhile, in the sweet by and by, in the final day of judgment, that day to which all days tend, to which we are looking forward to, then it shall no doubt be revealed to us what the judgment really is. But on the other hand, we have truth. We have God's Word. And in this Word, there is revealed quite a number of things that we need to know concerning the judgment. I like to read Romans 2 and verse 2. I'm one of the old-fashioned preachers. When I preach, I have to have a text, and my text tonight is Romans 2 and verse 2. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. So there are some things we're sure of, and the judgment of God is according to truth. Then there are a number of things I read about in the Bible, God's book of truth, according to truth, concerning the judgment of God. And one thing you can be sure of, you can count on, and know it's going to come to pass. You and I are going to face the judgment. In Acts the 17th chapter and verse 31, Paul in the midst of Mars Hill, speaking to a group of ancient philosophers, said he had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness for that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. So the Lord says, through the Apostle Paul, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. The next place we turn in our Bibles is Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The Hebrew writer tells us, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There are some things that you need to count on. One is that you're going to die. Anyone here believes you aren't going to die, that death is not a reality? We all know that death is real. Well, then the Hebrew writer wants you to know that the judgment is just as real as death. So as men die, you can be just that sure that there is coming a day of judgment. But what bothers me in the day in which I live, I rub shoulders with thousands of people a week. Go to San Francisco and walk down Market Street. And we're rubbing shoulders with thousands and thousands of people who are unsaved, who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't it strange that there are so many people today who believe that the Bible is inspired, Word of God, and yet they're not making any plans to go to heaven? There is a day of judgment. Then not only are we to be certain, to be sure, that there is a day of judgment, but every responsible individual will be in that day of judgment. We turn to read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things that he hath done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Paul is saying that there is coming a day of judgment, and we're all going to be there. Then we look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 again. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this is judgment. I look in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 12. John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos said, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, we're judged. Friend, there are a lot of people in the world today who think that somehow they're going to escape judgment. I would say the majority of people somehow think that they will not be in the day of judgment. Well, they're going to be surprised. They're going to be greatly disappointed. For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There is something else we learn concerning the judgment. The judge on that day is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am so glad that He's going to be my judge. I certainly would dread to have some of the brethren in the world today to judge me. Some of the liberal brethren who want to change the church, they'd like to get rid of such preachers like myself and Buster Dobbs and others. And hence they would judge us harshly. Brother Dobbs and I heard a young man speak a few nights ago, and he said he didn't judge. He believed the Lord's Supper, and he believed that laying by in store, you could do it on Tuesday night, just into the Sunday. And he didn't believe in judging, but he condemned all of us as Pharisees who didn't agree with him. So you can easily see how it is today. That a lot of people, if they judged us, we would be in trouble. But my Lord is my judge. He hath appointed a day which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man. And then in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So Jesus, my Lord, will be my judge then, and He will be your judge. And yet, in spite of all this, the Lord gives you opportunity day after day to do His will, to obey Him. And yet people go on, they spurn invitation after invitation. Even the Lord lovingly says, come unto me all you that labor nor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Beginning in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Right now, the Lord is our mediator. We're told there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. But someday, the Lord is not going to be our mediator. He is going to be our judge. Then how are you going to feel after you have spurned heaven's invitation, rejected all the Lord's offers of salvation? And then how are you going to feel when the Lord says, depart from me, you cursed, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels? This is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 25 and verse 41. But again, you see that the Lord Jesus will be our judge. We look also in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 and 32. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And there shall be gathered all nations before Him. And He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. You know, friend, I'm afraid to die lost. I read in the Bible of God's right hand and God's left hand. And I read of a man that died lost. In the book of Luke, we read of a rich man, chapter 16, verse 23. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I'm afraid to die lost. The same Bible that tells of heaven describes hell. I am afraid to die lost. Depart from me, you cursed, in everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So the Lord will sit on the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them. So there is a right hand and a left hand. The goats on the left, the sheep on the right. What else do we learn about the judgment of God? We learn that there is only one standard of judgment. One standard. Brother friend of mine, Buster, just recently reminded me of a haircut that I received in Oakland, California. I needed a haircut on the weekend. And last coming Sunday, I happened to be in Oakland, about 50 miles from where I live. Here's a good place to get a haircut. I knew of a barber, so I stopped in to see him. He was a Nazarene preacher. The man shining my shoes was a black man, a deacon in the Baptist church. The man to my left, the barber, was a Presbyterian preacher. The man to my right was a Catholic. And when I sat down, the Nazarene preacher said, "Joe, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time." He said, "We've been in argument. We just got settled." "Well, what were you arguing about?" "Well," he said, "we decided that it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as your heart's good." "So what do you think?" And I wish some of you brethren that don't believe in debating would tell me what you're going to say. "I don't know how to get out of debates." "Tell me how." "I don't know how to get out of debates. All I have to do is just answer a question, and before I know it, I'm in a discussion." "Now, what would you have said?" "Well," I said, "that reminds me, like the statement, doesn't matter what disease you have as long as your health's good." You know what that means? That means that you believe the wrong thing, your heart isn't good. It means if you have disease, your health isn't good. I got home. My wife met me at the door. She said, "Joe, where on earth have you been?" "What do you mean?" She said, "Look at your hair." She said, "It's longer on this side than it is this side." Said, "There's a gap on the right side. Said, there's a crop over here on the left side." Said, "Get in here, Joe. Look in the mirror." Said, "You march right back over there and get your money back." Well, it's 50 miles away. So what she do? Get me in shape where I could preach on Sunday. She got some scissors, the mirror, and the comb, and she started working on the right and the left side, trying to get it even. The gap's out of the back. Friend, we hear so many people today say, "It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're honest and sincere." It doesn't matter what faith, what system of religion you have, as long as you're sincere. Take the church of your choice. One is as good as another. I don't believe that. No church is as good as the one that my Lord said upon this rock, "I will build my church." No church is as good as the Lord's. And there's going to be something happen to people who will not follow the Lord's statements of the Bible and obey Him. "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." There are a lot of people today who do not know what they faith is. Heard a young man in California recently. He was talking about what the faith is in Ephesians 4 and verse 5. Guess what? You know what he said when he asked to believe the faith is? He said it's what he preached. And I heard him in the Lord help us in what he preached is the faith. Let's see if we can determine from the Bible a few moments just what the faith is. In Acts 6 and verse 7, we read that a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Well, what's the faith? We don't learn here. We're going to have to skip again. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves. Will you be in the faith? Well, what's the faith? We still do not learn. We look at Jude, verse 3. You should earnestly contend for the faith. But what's the faith? We need some help. What is the faith? Get them to Galatians 1, verse 24-8. Paul says that he now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. I can determine what Paul preached. I know what the faith is. What did Paul preach? We open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, which also you're saved if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you." Then what is the faith? It's what Paul preached. What did Paul preach? He preached the gospel. It is the same system, the same element of truth. It all goes together, big doctrines, big gospel, all the same. Now there are some people who try to make a distinction that the gospel is one thing and the doctrine is another. They say that you can't preach to members of the church. You teach doctrine to them and you preach to non-members of the church. Several years ago, Brother G. K. Wallace met in debate Brother Ketcheside. Brother Ketcheside tried to make a distinction between gospel and doctrine. G. K. Wallace said, "Ketcheside," said, "hop up here in the platform, teach 15 minutes, and preach 15 minutes, and let's see if we can tell when you shift gears. So let's see if you can tell when they shift gears. Doctrine, gospel, they say, the law of Christ, all the same unit of message." Then we turn to 2 John verse 9. "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." Some years ago, Brother Roy and Larry Jr. and I were in the Teton lectureship. Preacher came to the platform to speak, and he said, "I'm going to let all you people in on a secret." He said, "I just learned this truth myself, and I'm going to pass it on to you." Well, I like to learn something new. Now I'm all ready to learn something new. He says, "You can't use 2 John verse 9 to tell people instrumental music is wrong." He said, "That is teaching about Christ, not what Christ taught." Soon as he got through speaking, my wife was pushing me out. "Now, I go get him." I didn't have time to get him. Roy in there got him first. And as he bounced off of Roy, he fell into my arms. And I wanted to know what Matthew, the 16th chapter and verse 12, meant. The doctrine of the Pharisees. Is that teaching about the Pharisees? Or is it the teaching of the Pharisees? Was it what the Pharisees taught, or was it what somebody thought about the Pharisees? It was the teaching of the Pharisees. The doctrine of Christ is the teaching of Christ, not the teaching about Christ. So here is the one system by which we shall be judged. We're going to be judged by the Word of Christ. There's just one standard. Now, it doesn't matter what a man believes, just so he's honest and sincere. It doesn't matter what faith a man subscribes to. It doesn't matter what church a man belongs to. Then you have to take out John 12, verse 48, out of the Bible. You would just have to cut it out. A lot of people are cutting things out of the Bible. And here's one you'd have to cut out. "He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, as one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Friend, here is the standard of judgment, the only standard of judgment in the judgment day, when we shall stand before the throne of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Preparation for the judgment must be made in this life. I would like for us to get 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 again. We've already quoted it, but we need to stress a certain part of it. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body, for that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Get this. In the day of judgment, we're not going to be judged by something that's done in the spirit world. We're going to be judged by the things done when the spirit was in the body. We're going to be judged by the things that are done in this life. There are some churches today that believe in purgatory. There are some churches today that believe you can be baptized for the faith. That you can die with it. Somehow it'll be all right for you beyond the grave, beyond death, if you die with it. Somehow you'll be converted, maybe in heaven or before you get to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 shows that is not true. You're going to be judged by the things done in your body, according to that which you have done. Whether it be good or bad. Then we look at the parable concerning the five foolish virgins. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Remember, there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. But we're talking about the 5 foolish virgins. They knew the bridegroom. That's a plus. They knew where the wedding place was to take place. That's a plus. They had glass. They had some oil in them. That's a plus. And the minus part was they didn't have extra oil. Extra oil. And when they had to go and obtain the extra oil, then the 5 wise virgins went on into the marriage feast and the door was shut. Then came the 5 foolish and began to knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. You know, there are going to be a lot of surprised people in the day of judgment. Surprised people. Even though they've known the Lord, members of His church, faithful for a while, they're going to be surprised. They didn't make the necessary preparation, the full preparation, to go to heaven. And then in that same chapter, when our Lord ended the parable of the virgins, you know what He said? In verse 13, we hear Him say, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man cometh. So the Lord is going to come unexpectedly. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The earth shall melt with fervent heat, or the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works of therein shall be burned up. You know what these things mean? A lot of people believe this old earth is going to abide forever, and we're going to live upon this earth. Do you know what melt means? Do you know what pass away means? Do you know what burned up means? A lot of people do not. That is your information. If you cannot understand what pass away and melt and burned up means, then look at the next verse. Seeing that these things shall be dissolved. What does dissolve mean? It means to pass from an organized state to dissolution. Someday this whole world is going to melt. It's going to burn up. And there's going to be a day of judgment. The Lord will come unexpectedly. No wonder the Lord said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. While we're looking at preparation, understanding that preparation which is to take place here in this life, we need to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord wants you to obey the gospel. A lot of people would take the do out of the Bible. And when we stress that you have to do something to be saved, then we have people say, oh, you're a legalist. Well, I want to tell you right now, I'd rather be legal any time than to be illegal. Have you? The Bible breathes a legalistic atmosphere. Blessed are they that do His commandments. Revelation 14:13. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6:46. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 7, verse 21. Then, to prepare for the day of judgment, you need to do it now. Furthermore, we learn something else concerning the judgment. And that is, it's going to be individual. I cannot give account for you, and you cannot give an account for me. In Romans the 14th chapter, in verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, receive the things done in the body. Hence, I'm going to have to give account for the way I live in this world, and you're going to have to give account for the way that you live and you can depend on. You can be sure of it. Well, we know and sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. And that brings me now to the last part of our lesson tonight. And that is the word eternal. If in the day of judgment the Lord says to you, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter thou in the joy of thy Lord, Matthew 25, verse 21. Remember, the Lord will not say that to anyone unless you've done it. The Lord won't lie for you. But if the Lord says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, then you'll spend eternity in happiness. Won't that be wonderful? But it will be eternal. Then in the day of judgment, after that day of judgment, if the Lord says, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, that will be horrible. Horrible. I hate to even contemplate the thought. It's so horrible. It will be through eternity. But a lot of people believe that you can die lost and still be good for you, find good after death. They believe that the righteous, of course, will have unending joy. That's true. But they believe, some people believe, that wicked people, after death, will go to hell and be annihilated. That'll end them. And they believe the word destroy means to annihilate. It isn't true. Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus says, fear not them that kill the body. Rather, they'll fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The word destroy means to ruin. We look at Job, the 19th chapter, in verse 10. Job said, he has destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. Well, here's a man that said he was destroyed, and he was alive to tell about it. He says, I am gone. The word destroy means to ruin. Friend, I do not want to be ruined, and I'm sure that you do not. So how long will the wicked be punished? The wicked will be punished as long as the righteous have left. In the Koine Greek language, there is only one word for everlasting. It's the Greek word aionios. We get Matthew 25 and verse 46. These shall go away in everlasting punishment, but the righteous in the life eternal. Now what does this mean? It means that the wicked will be punished as long as the righteous have life. Turn it around. The righteous will have life as long as the wicked will be punished. How long? Eternally. I don't want to die lost. We need to prepare ourselves for the judgment. We can't be sure. You can depend on it. There's a day of judgment coming. Are you prepared? If you're not prepared, you need to come tonight and obey the gospel of God's Son.